And now, young Widow Brown. There is a time in everyone's life which is given over to waiting. No one escapes a vigil of some sort, whether it's for love or hate, anxiety or fear, tragedy or joy. And now at Hope Center Hospital, Evan Brown's fiancé, Dr. Anthony Loring, sits waiting. He is in the little reception room off the private floor, his chair facing the elevators at the end of the corridor. Beside him, a table on which is ashtray heaped with ashes bears testimony to a state of mind. With him is Evan's friend, Marion Temple, whose throat is dry, whose tongue seems almost paralyzed, as she tries desperately to think of something to say to him.
Anthony, it just seems much longer to you, really, that's all.
I know, Mary.
Although it's not... I mean, usually if things go wrong, they go wrong right away, don't they?
Don't work so hard, Mary. It's a good try, but relax.
I want to help you. I suppose that's the best way of helping Alan, helping you. Oh, and Anthony,
I don't think I'll ever be the same with an anxious husband or mother or father. I'll never be able to be so detached again.
I wonder if that's good or bad.
What do you mean?
Well, that's what's good, to have someone detached around you when things aren't right. That's what's better.
On the other hand, if you weren't here, Noreen, if I had someone saying to me, everything's going to be all right, you just have to wait, I might not be so controlled myself. If I am controlled.
Poor Anthony. And the person you need is Alan.
Well, that's what happens when the person you love is ill. The one with whom you're most sympathetic is the one person you can't turn to.
Tomorrow, Anthony.
Yes, tomorrow.
Well, I see no reason in the world why I can't stop by for 2 minutes.
Oh, sister, Victoria.
Confound it.
Where? Oh, never mind. I see him. Oh. Anthony. Anthony, I simply cannot take this kind of treatment anymore.
Oh, good afternoon, Noreen.
Hello, Victoria.
I brought Ellen a few flowers. I know you say she doesn't want to see me, but I can't believe that. I think you're deliberately putting me in wrong with Ellen. I think you're...
Well, what's the matter with you, Anthony? You don't look well.
I'm all right, Victoria.
Victoria, Ellen's up in the operating room now. We're waiting here until it's all over.
Oh, he's being operated on at this time of day?
The time of day is not important.
Well, I never heard of anybody being operated on at 4 in the afternoon unless something had burst.
I mean, nothing burst, Victoria. Dr. Shaw thought it would be good to get it over with.
Oh. Suppose she knows what she's doing, Anthony.
I'm sure she does, Victoria.
Did I hear someone say that you didn't like the idea of a woman doctor taking care of Ellen? Did you change your mind? Do you think she is competent after all?
Victoria,
did you ever think of going into the diplomatic service?
Well, what do you mean, Marie?
Nothing. Look, have you been to the nursery lately on the third floor? Would you like to see the new babies? Yes, aren't they beautiful?
I can't think of anything that would interest me less, Noreen.
Well, I just thought that...
Or are you implying that Anthony doesn't want me around? Is that it, Noreen?
Noreen isn't implying anything, Victoria. She doesn't have to. I'm here to tell you that I don't want you here.
Anthony!
Now, that is not a hint. That is a statement of fact, direct and to the point.
I should say it is, Anthony. And all I can say is that I hope you'll see the day when you wish to take back those words. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, Victoria. I'll walk you to the elevator.
Thank you, no. I'm well aware who are my friends in Simpsonville, Noreen. And well aware, too, that you're not among them. Goodbye.
Oh, dear.
Don't worry, Noreen. I can always count on my sister to foul up the situation. To come in with her worries, her hurt feelings. To grab the limelight in some way.
She's really hard, isn't she? Now, the whole world knows she can't abide, Ellen. Doesn't she know that she can't come in here with those flowers expecting people to think she's even remotely sincere?
I wouldn't even begin to talk about my sister's mental processes.
No, don't.
However, she acted as a kind of counter-irritant. She made me so angry I forgot to think of the rest of it.
Perhaps I'd better get someone else here to make you angry. I know. Maybe Miss Simpson.
Oh.
I'll call her, Anthony. I'd be delighted.
No, no, please. I don't want to get that angry. Well, I'll settle down now. I think they should be word of Alan pretty soon.
But word does not come, and Anthony and Noreen wait, watching the afternoon sun travel listening to the ominous tick of the great clock in the hall. And now Noreen's husband, Herbert Temple, comes up to them saying,
"Hello, Noreen."
"Hello, Anthony."
"How goes it?"
"I don't know, Herbert.
You're just waiting here, but just getting..."
"Well, these things take time."
"Yes, of course.
I thought I'd stick around for a bit if you didn't mind, Anthony."
"I think that would be good. I'm not much help to any Herbert."
"Oh, she is. I've come to her like a leech. But take a break, Noreen. Go back home and rest. You'll be the first one I'll call."
"Well, I'll just dash home, check on the children, that's all, and then come right back
to you." "All right, bring some sandwiches in or something, eh?"
"Well, I'll send you something from the diet kitchen, Herbert, if you're hungry."
"I'll stick to them on the way out. I won't be long."
"Don't rush, darling."
"There's no deal, Anthony."
"Rugged."
"Been upstairs?"
No. They telephone down occasionally. All very noncommittal. Heart good, so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
But after all, if Ellen's heart weren't good, she'd be dead."
"How are her spirits since you went into the operating room?"
"Excellent. Ellen and I had a good talk.
Herbert,
Ellen is more remarkable every time she faces some kind of situation. More wonderful, more... I don't know. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, is that it?"
"Yes, Anthony."
"Takes things so well. She has such spiritual discipline.
She's a great girl, let's face it.
My sister was fighting her way into the act just a while ago.
Mm-hmm.
I threw her out. Now, Ellen wouldn't have done that. Ellen would have risen above it. Intolerant and... I don't know. Have you a cigarette?"
"Yes, sir. Let me empty that ashtray for you, huh?" "What have you been doing? Reading cigarettes?"
"Seems that way."
"Mm-hmm.
Man, this is a day. This is certainly... Wait, I heard the elevator door."
"Hold on. Is this...
Yes.
Well... Should you go to her now? Or...
No. No, I stand here. I stand here while they take her in. I guess Dr. Shaw will be along pretty soon. That's the routine. You have a word with the relatives, standers by, those who wait."
Ellen's room is dark now, the window shades drawn, and Olivia McAvoy, superintendent of nurses, who has chosen to be her special nurse for the night, sits silent and watchful as Anthony takes Ellen's hand.
"Anthony?"
"Yes, Ellen, darling."
"I've been calling you across the Great Canyon. How did you get here?"
"I'd always get here, don't you know that?"
"Yes. But that's a long time. It isn't."
"It took time, dear."
"I know."
"Don't talk so."
"I was so far away. I traveled so far. I came back. I came back."
"Yes."
"I stayed, too. I saw the other side. I wasn't ready. I came back."
"Ellen, darling."
"The children. And you. They sit over there. Not yet. And go home."
"Of course. You're needed here."
"Anthony."
"Yes, darling."
"Just stay now."
"Yes, I'll stay."
"Ellen, Dr. Shaw, where is she?"
"Right here, Ellen, darling. She's standing at the door."
"I want to... Oh, my grace. Tell her, Anthony. Tell her I'm so grateful."
Trained eyes watch Ellen come up from the Valley of the Shadow. Trained ears listen for her heart growing stronger. Will all be well with young Widow Brown?